Chapter 18. As had become a habit during moments of tedium or preoccupation, Han, wearing a fake beard and wig, reached absently into his pant pocket for the archaic transponder and began to turn it about in his hand, sliding his thumb along the T-shaped device's seamless surface, hefting it as though in an attempt to ascertain its weight, in lieu of being able to divine its enigmatic purpose. If they had bothered to time their arrival on Terrace, they would have been able to meet with Vistal Pern the previous day. But now, the one-time owner of the Millennium Falcon and former manager of Molepole Circus was engaged in overseeing the judging of creatures vying for titles in Sock Brock's 50th annual pet show. Any meeting with Pern would have to wait until after the prizes had been handed out. A dozen rows forward of where he sat with Leia, Alana, and C-3PO, hundreds of pets accompanied by their owners or handlers were parading around the arena floor, strutting their stuff for groups of judges in the hope of being crowned most ferocious in species or ugliest in show. As far as Han could determine, the contest had little to do with talent or skill, other than whatever ability it took to prance with poise, grovel with grace, or stalk with style. In a galaxy where so many species had evolved to sentience, the very notion of keeping a pet struck Han as absurd. And yet, even in the most far-flung star systems, you'd find beings who doted on their miniature Nagaths and toy Moyings more than they did their own offspring. Sometimes it was merely pathetic, and often it was downright comical, especially at Sock Brock's, where it wasn't unusual to encounter an arachnoid Kratokian walking a leashed bipedal Ornuk, or a Sanus feline leashed to a canine-faced Doug half its size. Sometimes the owner was more exotic-looking than his or her pet, and sometimes the pets made the owners look as if they had yet to reach an evolutionary stage where sentience was a guarantee. In one of the arena's many competition areas stood a Shistavanen who looked far more ferocious than the fanged and clawed Anuba he was showing. Closer still was a Sauvax, who would have looked better as the main course on a water world than the bred-for-food beast with whom she was partnered. The bushy-maned Calibop behind the Sauvax looked better suited for flight than the scantily feathered Reptivian perched on his shoulder. Han had sat patiently through the awards for ugliest in rodent, marsupial, and reptilian, but he knew he had reached his limit the moment Gans and the other insectoid owners began appearing on the arena floor with their bandera beetles and score plans. The sheer repulsiveness of the pets they walked raised every hair on the back of his neck. Alana, on the other hand, was mostly fascinated. From the start, she had evinced a great empathy for animals and other creatures, even the ones Han considered repulsive. She had that in common with her father.
C-3PO used to entertain you with tales. From the little lost Bantha cub. He took you and Jaina on outings to zoos and game habitats. You escaped him once, ventured deep into one of Coruscant's murkiest and most dangerous canyons. Han tried to derail his train of thought, but failed. You were kidnapped by Hethrir. You rescued your mother from captivity by War Master Savan Law. You watched your brother die and were tortured by Verger. You killed Anami. You spent 5 years learning from Force users throughout the galaxy and returned a changed person. How could you have grown into what you became? Once my dear son, later so unrecognizable it hurt to admit that I'd fathered you, let alone raised you. How did I allow you to grow away from me? So far out of reach, so distant, so bound up in your own beliefs of what constituted right and wrong, you drove even the Jedi against you. Did your ambition pass to your daughter? Did she inherit your susceptibility along with your curiosity, your weaknesses along with your strengths? Will she too be lured by false promises and unattainable goals? How closely do we need to watch her, Jason? Or is she a benign alternative to the future you once represented? Han clenched his hands and inhaled a stuttering breath. I want to be able to forgive you. Han felt a tug on his sleeve and turned to Alana.
What's up, Shortcake?
Can we have a treat?
Han smiled.
I thought you'd never ask.
Captain Solo,
C-3PO said.
I would be only too happy to escort.
You stay here and keep Leia company.
Han gestured broadly to the arena floor.
Pick out the breed you like, and I'll think about buying one for you.
He looked past C-3PO to Leia,
whose eyes were hidden behind tinted glasses and whose long hair was concealed under a short-haired wig.
We're going to the concession stand.
Bring me a Bama bar.
Will do.
Han took Alana by the hand and led her to the aisle.
Shoulder ride?
Yes.
He threw her gently up onto his shoulders, her legs dangling around his neck. She had extraordinary balance. He liked that she was a real kid. He and Leia had promised each other that their next kid wouldn't be a Jedi, and Han had been thrilled to learn that Alana would not be attending the Jedi Academy. The lobby swarmed with customers. He set her down on the tiled floor.
What do you want?
Whipped treat.
Single or double?
Double?
She said shyly. Han grinned.
Does Leia want a regular Bama bar or one with bloom fruit?
Alana closed her eyes.
With bloom fruit.
Coming right up.